Fred Film Radio, Berlin International Film Festival, Germany.
Fred Film Radio, this is Chiara Nicoletti from the 67th Berlinale. Today we're talking about Final Portrait, written and directed by actor and director Stanley Tucci. The film stars Geoffrey Rush, portraying the world-renowned artist Alberto Giacometti, and Armie Hammer as the American writer and heart lover James Lord, with protagonist Armie Hammer to talk about the film. Well, I guess you spent weeks sitting on a chair for the film.
It seemed like a relaxing way to shoot a movie, easier than riding a horse. Honestly, the thing that attracted me to it was the fact that Stanley Tucci was going to direct it, and the person sitting across from me in the chair for 90% of my work in the movie was going to be Geoffrey Rush. That was a no-brainer for me.
Where did you know Stanley Tucci from? Could you imagine that he was such an amazing director? But how was for you?
I had no clue that he was such a fabulous person. I knew that he was a great director, and I knew that he was a phenomenal actor. And I thought that the opportunity of being directed by an actor of that caliber would be really interesting, and sort of seeing what did he say, what was his advice, how did he prepare for it, how did he want me to prepare, what was his process, and how did that affect my process.
What about Geoffrey Rush?
He blew every expectation that I had completely out of the water. I expected somebody who was so phenomenally talented and got so much more. I've never seen anybody work as hard as he does in any capacity. It's incredible. He's insatiable. He does not stop. If he's not on set working, then he's back working on his script or watching old videos of Giacometti or preparing other scenes. I mean, he really is just, he works harder than anybody else I've ever seen in this business.
How was your preparation for the role?
Well, I was playing a historical character, so there was a lot of source material, so I could do a lot of research, which was great. So I had all of James Ward's books, you know, the fiction and nonfiction alike. I had all of the letters that he was writing to his mother while he was in France. I had all of his actual journal entries from when he was actually posing and all that. So there's just so much to draw on, which was really nice. It's like cheating.
How was it different to be directed by an actor?
There's a shorthand. There's a way of communication that he knows he would like and appreciate as an actor, and also what he knows he would need to hear in order for it to be the most productive outcome of the scene. And so he made it efficient, and he knows there's a language, there's a dialogue that instead of coming up and going, yeah, that was really good, but, you know, instead of like, why don't you do it like, you know, and you go, I have no idea what that means. You know, he'll come over and go, great, great, great. I love the tone of this part and with the character this, great. But do you think with the character maybe we could try something like this? And you just go, yes, I know exactly what you're saying. Let's do it. So it made it quick, which is why we were able to sort of tear through this movie, shooting sometimes 7 or 8 pages a day, you know.
How much of that part in which your character wants to try and stop the process, you know, was in the original script or in the research you did for the character?
Over the course of the making of their portrait, they really developed a symbiotic relationship where they were really relying on each other for so much. So, you know, it's not that James Lord, you know, it goes into it more in more detail in the book, and it's not that he actually manipulated Giacometti. It's just that they worked together to finish this thing, which is what, you know, Giacometti says at the end, you know, I really feel like we did this together, you know, because they did. I mean, Giacometti would still be there working on it right now, you know, because that was just who he was and how he operated as an artist, you know. So he needed James Lord to sort of like push him off the...
Yeah, he was a fascinating artist because most of the artists don't know how to destroy their work, and maybe sometimes you have to learn how to do that.
Sure.
It's the opposite.
Sure.
Well, I guess the film is not about the result, it's about the search. So can you recognize this process in your creative approach as an artist?
Because in any artistic field, it's very rare that you actually get the result. You know, I mean, it is the pursuit of perfection that is sort of, you know, that's what's important. That is the artistic process, wanting to get better and better and better and better and better. And I'm not sure it makes you a better artist to go, now I've reached the point where I'm the best artist. You know, I think that will be the point where you plateau, you know, and then you stop growing as an artist because you're not driven, you're not hungry for it.
Are you somebody who knows when to stop in a process like that? I mean, we're writers, and sometimes it's very hard to stop and cut.
You guys, I'm sure, have it worse because you're writing, and then you go, ah, shit, erase that. And then erase that. You know, so, I mean, I'm sure that as journalists and as people who write, I'm sure you guys recognize the exact same part of that artistic process, you know. And it's the same for actors, you know.
I mean, stock as well.
Yeah. And it's the same for actors, you know, and Fincher and Kubrick and all those directors who really did such high volume of takes. It comes from the exact same place. So I get it. Like, I totally... Give me another take. Let's do it again. Let's try it better. Let's see what we can do. Give me another take. Let's try it, you know.
But you also know the despair. And what do you do in these situations?
Yeah, my despair comes in different times. But my despair comes in sort of like watching it and going, oh, my God, why did I do that? No. Oh, why am I? You know, so.
Have you ever had a plan B? Or were you always sure about your vocation, about your wanting to be an artist?
I never wanted a plan B. I always was just never going to take no for an answer. I wanted to be involved in making movies in sort of whatever capacity that meant. When I was like 12, I wanted to be involved in making movies. I fell in love with movies around that time. And then...
Don't all kids do?
Yeah. But like, I could literally watch the same movie 20 times in a row. Like, watch it, and then the next day watch it again, and then the next day watch it again, and the next day watch it again, just to be watching a movie, you know. It was like a compulsion. And then, you know, as I grew up and got older, I started to understand the business more and more, and sort of, oh, it's not just this ethereal business of making movies. You have to produce this movie. That means there's a producer, and then who? Although there's a director. Okay, well, then there's the actors. Like, you know, so figuring it out. You know.
So when did you discover that you were actually able and good at performing and acting?
I did plays in school when I was really young and all that, and really kind of enjoyed the rush of it and all that, but I don't know. I just, even if I felt like I was hating it, I just could never stop doing it. Like, even if I was in acting class and it wasn't going well, and I felt like I had no idea what I was doing and all that, and I wanted to quit, I couldn't.
From what I read, you come from a very ancient family, so how did they react to your decision of becoming an actor?
Probably the exact same way that I would if my children told me they wanted to be an actor, and I'm an actor. I'm like, what are you talking about? You can't do that. That's crazy, you know? Maybe that's just good parenting. I don't know. It's a hard business. It's if my child came to me at 13, 14 and said, I want to be an actor, I know, because I had to go through it, what that means and how hard that is, and sort of the rejection that they're going to go through, the sort of self-doubt, the self-loathing, the hard work with no payoff for so long. It's not something that you would wish on your child, you know.
Do you need to have an idea of what kind of an actor you want to be? Do you think that...
My idea of the kind of actor I want to be is just a constantly improving one. You know, I mean, that's why... I recognize the part of Giacometti's process where he erases it, because I saw this movie for the first time last night, and I've worked on two or three movies since then, and you know, the idea is hopefully that on each project you learn something new, right? So I've had those learning opportunities. So now when I look back at this, I'm a different person than I was when I filmed this. So I look at it and I go, oh, why did I do it like that? I should have done it like this. The character, I should have done the arc more like this, and blah, blah, blah. So if I ever look back on one of my movies and think I did it perfectly, I think that's about the time where you stop growing.
You were talking about rejection before. So how did you handle it? And when was probably the worst time for you in this sense?
The teenage years of being an actor when you're a teenager are really tough, because being a teenager in the world right now is hard enough with the way the internet works, with the way that, you know, what these kids have to go through and all that. It's hard enough as it is, much less walking into a room nervous, knowing that you're not going to do a good job, and then leaving and them going, nah, not really a good job. Like, that is really, I think, can be really damaging for a child, you know. And then, you know, conversely, if that child becomes successful early on, you know, then they build their identity into the success of the show or the movie that they're doing. And then once that movie or show is over, it's like cutting out a huge portion of that person, because that's part of their identity. They don't have their own identity. Their identity is their success of, you know, X, Y, or Z. So it's hard. I mean, it's psychologically can be a really hard business to navigate, especially if you're a teenager and you don't really have the tools for it.
Well, at least as a teenager, you were supported by your parents, right?
Yeah, I had great parents who basically said, like, you know, we're not going to make this easy for you, but we're not going to let you starve to death, you know.
Have you ever heard, I'm so sorry, but you're too good looking for this job?
I don't know if anybody actually ever said that to me. I don't think so.
Maybe they thought that.
Yeah.
They didn't tell me.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
But you sort of get trust also to first-time directors. I remember in Italy, for example, you're like very famous for having worked with Fabio and Fabio Mine.
Yeah, right.
You know, that was a challenge for them. And so how's your selection process? What did you decide, for example, to give them your trust and decide to?
I really liked the script and I really liked the Fabios. I saw Afterville, the short film that they did, and I thought it was really, really good. And it's a story of a guy who's in love with a girl, but he's not able to tell her. You know, and it's destroying him. But it takes place in a world where these alien ships have crashed, but you never see the aliens, you never address the aliens. It's never an issue. And I just thought, if this guy can make a movie where aliens have invaded and you don't even really see or deal with the aliens, these guys might be able to make a movie about a mine and not make it only about standing on a landmine. And it seemed like a really good fit.
And it worked.
Yeah. They're great. I love the Fabios. Yeah, they're fantastic.
Talking about research, from the films you've been choosing to do, it feels like you're, let's say, choosing very carefully. Is that correct? How is it?
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I feel like I'm still going through the same search process. You know, I'm still really making all of my decisions based on the people involved. You know, I'm just following what I consider to be talent. Like, I think Stanley's talented. I think that Anthony Maris, who directed Hotel Mumbai, is talented. I think that Luca Guadagnino is obviously so talented. You know, David Fincher is so talented. You know, I mean, I don't know if... I think just, like, the movie-making landscape has also really changed. You know, I mean, it's... You have movies like these being made, and then you also have big superhero movies being made, you know, and this, to me, right now, is a little bit more attractive. I feel like there's... Personally speaking, for me, I feel like there's a large artistic payoff for doing a movie that feels like a passion project.
What did it attract to you about your last film, Hotel Mumbai?
It's incredibly prescient. Like, it's... And the thing that it does more than anything else is, you know, it's a film about a terror attack that happened in Mumbai in 2007. But the terrorists, the kids who play the terrorist in the movie, it's such a humanizing thing that happens to them. They're not nameless, faceless killing machines who are just hell bent on the destruction of, you know, Western civilization. They're kids. They're kids who have gotten themselves into this situation, you know, either through their parents or whatever, but now they've been in these places and they've been sort of brainwashed and now they're forced into this thing and they're scared. And it's really the first time that you see that side of it. You know, and I think that's important. You know, this word terrorist, people forget that that's a label for a human. Like, this is a person. Like, this isn't just a Terminator machine. This is a person who's got their own fears, their own insecurities, their own everything. Then they're obviously so afraid that this is what they've been driven to, you know. And this is a very humanizing effort, I think, in this movie to show that.
Which part do you play?
I play a hotel guest who is having dinner with his wife in the hotel when the hotel gets attacked. And he has to make a decision of, do I stay with my wife? Or do I have to go get the baby from the hotel room who's with the nanny? You know, and it's, do I bring my wife and risk her getting killed? Or do I leave her here? It's intense. Yeah, it was a very intense filming experience, yeah.
Is there a sliding doors moment in your life that you can recognize? In which you know that if you...
Well, I don't know, because I haven't seen both sides of the door, you know, like, I don't know.
But, you know, sometimes there's a... For example, I know exactly that if in that moment of my life... I hadn't taken that job that led me to, my life would have been at least different.
So it would probably be Social Network for me, doing Social Network, yeah.
See?
Yeah. I mean, it changed everything that I sort of did after that in terms of, like, my acting career, thankfully.
Thank you so much, Armie, for being with us and talking about Final Portrait. Good luck for this film, for Call Me By Your Name, and for Hotel Mumbai. I hope to meet you soon. Again, And this is Chiara Nicoletti from the 67th Berlinale for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio,
24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.